welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of your Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn, and check out our new YouTube page channel with all our Italian-American moments. My guest today is Christina De Stefano, the author of a very great book, Oriana Fallaci, the journalist, the agitator, the legend. Christina, I want to welcome you to the show, to my Italo Americano podcast, and can't wait to talk about your book. Very important topic, very important woman, but please tell us a little bit about your background.
I was born in 1967 in Pavia, north of Italy, and I started as a journalist because of Oriana Fallaci. I think I was under her spell when I was a teenager, and I wanted to be a war correspondent as she was. Of course, I didn't get there. even if I studied the Israelo-Palestine subject still because of her. And, you know, because I was a teenager in the years when Oriana Fallaci was a global star. So I think really that I became a journalist because of her. And then I worked for 10 or 15 years as a journalist in the Italian L, talking about books. And then my life changed because I moved to Paris. I moved to Paris almost 20 years ago because of the job of my husband. And then there I started a new job, which is now my main activity, which is called the Literary Scout. It's not a very well-known job, but it's a beautiful job. A Literary Scout is a person who reads all the books that are about to be published in a language, in this case French, and advise publisher all around the world about translating a book. So I spend my time reading French books and Italian books, because now I'm covering two countries, and talking about these books to my client in America, in China, in Germany. So it's a very dynamic, and I like this job a lot.
So how many languages do you speak?
No, I speak only French and English. I read a little bit of Spanish, as all the Italian. I can read a novel in Spanish, but I can judge the style, of course. And I speak English with all my clients, because I have clients all over the world, in Spain, in Germany.
So you speak three languages?
Yes.
That's very impressive.
Autodidactic, but I try to. That's why I accepted to speak in English with you in the podcast. So please forget my mistakes. But
no,
you're very good. I want to try in your language. And the last thing about me is that I write books in the very few spare time that I have. And I like to write biographies. That's my thing. I'm in love with lives. When I'm free to read, I read biography. I think it's one of the most amazing read that you can have, because when you read the life of another person, you live the life of another person. So you learn a lot without having the mistakes, no, and the pain and the problems. So I think that reading a biography is an, how can I say, it's expanding yourself. So for me, it's my favorite read.
I agree with you 100%. I love to read biographies because I love to capture what that person went through and what they did and how they suffered and how they were happy. And it's very interesting. Quick question, the town you were born in, what region is that in?
Pavia is south of Milan, is Lombardia. So really, you know, the big... the big region of the north. Pavia is a not so little town. Pavia is famous for a couple of reasons. The main one is that she in Pavia you have the most ancient university of Italy after Bologna. So back in the 14th century. And it's a very famous university in Italy also because you have the system of the colleges, like in Oxford, Cambridge. So students from all over Italy can live in these buildings and structures, so that we have students from all over the world. And the second reason why it's famous, it's because it was the capital of the Longobardian reign, very important. And the third reason, funny enough, because I live in France, is that there was a famous battle, the Battle of Pavia in 1525, when Spanish fought against French, and the king of France, François Premier, was kept as a prisoner. So it was the main tragedy of the, let's say, the Renaissance France. Their king was taken prisoner in Pavia. And then it was very complicated for France to get him back.
Very interesting. Well, thank you. We have a little history lesson, and I always like that. I enjoy that. Okay. On to the book, which I read twice. I read it once years ago, and then recently I just picked it up and read it again because it's just so interesting. Oriana Fallaci, such an interesting character. You already kind of explained why you wrote the book. Apparently, she was an inspiration to you to get into this field, which is just fascinating. Tell us, because here's the thing. Italian-Americans are really not familiar with Oriana Fallaci. That's realism. They need to be familiar with Oriana Fallaci. That's why I'm so happy that you agreed to do this podcast, because I want them to know who she was, because she was just a rock star, a powerhouse, an amazing woman. Tell us a little bit about her from about your book and about her.
I think she's perfect for the podcast because she was an Italian woman in love with America. She moved to America. She was born in 1929, and she moved to America in the 50s. So she was quite young. She was 30, and she spent almost her life there. She was in love with New York. For her, America was really. Really, the country of freedom. And that's very interesting because Oriana Fallaci was born just before Second World War. And I would say all her life was shaped by the war. She was very young. She was the daughter of a resistant against the Nazis. So she fought with the resistance. So for her, the Americans were the liberator. She speaks in a lot of letters about the moment when she saw the American soldiers in Florence getting through the city. So for her, I think America was a kind of ideal before she got there. And once she got there, she was sometimes critical against America. She was not a very, let's say, a very smooth person. So she was very critical against some element of your culture, but she was definitely in love with New York, and she was convinced that New York was the place to be after the war. So she decided to stay there. So I think that for a podcast about Italian-American, she's definitely in the good place. And she spent all her life there. She just moved to Florence to die at the end of her life, but she was a real adoptive America, I would say, America.
And tell us what made her this rock star? What did she do that was different? She was a journalist.
She was I don't know how to say any, she was a forerunner or a pioneer. She was really the first to do something. And she was the first woman journalist in Italy, and absolutely the first woman to write about politics and about war. We are talking about the 50s. She started to write in a newspaper in 49, she was 18. So you have to imagine another world where women didn't work, women didn't write in newspaper, and if they are accepted, tolerated, they had to write about, you know, funny stuff, you know, fashion. And since the beginning, she fought. She was a kind of a real fighter. And she wanted to write about politics. She wanted to write differently about politics, because she used to say, when I read a newspaper about politics, I'm so bored. It's very boring, very serious. And she wanted to, she repeated all the time, you have to write it differently. You have to write politics like real life. And I think she was a pioneer also in this. She was not, let's say, a liberated woman, but she was a woman who invented a new way of doing journalism. Today, it can seem normal, but we are talking about 70 years ago. She invented a very personal, a very theatrical, I would say, journalism. And that's why she became very soon super famous, really like the Beatles. In the 70s, Oriana Fallaci was a global star. She was also beautiful. I think that helps at the time. She was a beautiful little tiny woman. She was a feminist, in the real sense of term, not part of a movement, but she was really, she never married. She wanted to raise by herself a child once she got pregnant. She couldn't do it because she had a miscarriage, but she wanted to raise herself a child at the time when a woman didn't do that. And first of all, in particular, I liked something in her life, that she always claimed the right to, as she put it, live like a man in that time, which means be free in your professional life, but also in your personal life. She claimed that she had the right to be, you know, sexually free, sentimentally free, and that was very new. Today for us, this is once again normal, but let's think that she tried to do that in the 50s and the 60s, when really, you know, the Beatles and the hippies were way, way far away. So I think that's why she has to be rediscovered by the new generation, because we are in a time where we are looking for role model for women. She was definitely a strong, determined, and liberated woman.
From the book, what I gathered, which here's a couple words, I'm not sure, like, she was a gutsy woman. Gutsy is not a typical English word, but we say it in America. She was tough, she was gutsy. But from the book, I almost, like, I felt bad for her personal life, because, like, her love life, I know she had different loves throughout her life, but, like, it never seemed to work out, and it always ended up bad. And you could tell that, like, from your writings, that there was something missing there. And you talked about it earlier, the fact that she wanted to have a child, and she never was able to. And it was just, it was sad. It was very sad for me, because I think that part of her life never got fulfilled.
Yes, of course, the personal life is the, let's say, the surprise of this book. It was a surprise for me too, because the public image of Oriana Fallaci, as you said, gutsy.
Gutsy, that's the word you're going to learn today. I learned a lot from you, and you're going to learn from me.
She was definitely a gutsy woman, very aggressive, very hard. She scared the hell out of her colleagues. When she arrived on a place, everyone say, okay, Oriana is there. She was really difficult to handle. She was very ambitious. And she was scary, I would say, also for the people she interviewed, because the reason why she became worldwide famous was the political interviews. She interviewed all the big leaders of the world, Henry Kissinger, Deng Xiaoping in China, Khomeini in Iran. And she was very aggressive with them too. That's why she was so famous, because an interview with Oriana Fallaci was a kind of a fight. And in general, she was the winner. But at the same time, the surprise side of the story is that she was very, I would say, very fragile, probably very vulnerable in her personal life. She had a series of love. That's for me was really a surprise, because I was a reader of Oriana Fallaci. I read all of her books. And for me, Oriana was work. She managed to write an enormous amount of books and newspaper features. But in fact, I discovered that she managed to do that despite a very colorful and full sentimental life, which we probably you are a man, you understand less this, but for a woman, you know, a personal life going along with a professional fulfilling life is not easy. And so I was really surprised and also impressed by this, because despite a very complicated personal life, and we can say sad personal life, because she was all the time in difficult relationship or alone, she managed to do a lot of work. That's the reason why I admire a lot this woman. I think she was really quite something. And she had a lot of stories, once again, quite transgressive, because she had the first love, okay, impossible love. She had a great love story with a French war correspondent, François Pelloux, whom I met. And even if it was 82, I thought it was as gorgeous as Paul Newman. I think one of the most gorgeous men I have met in my life. But it was impossible because he was married. And then he had a very, let's say, dramatic love story with a hero of the Greek resistance against the dictators. And then he had a very transgressive love story with a man, a young soldier who could have been her own son. So
that she met as a war correspondent, correct?
Yes, in Lebanon. And it's a very nice story, because she fell for this young man, but she knew that it was an impossible story. So she lasted a few years, but at the same time, she was very generous, because she fulfilled his own dream. This man was from a modest family, but he wanted to be an astronaut. And at that time, it was impossible in Italy. So she took him to New York. She gave him a green card. She paid her fees for the university. So that young man became an astronaut, in fact, the first, I think, Italian astronaut to go to the space. And all this thanks to Oriana. So the personal life of this woman was a big surprise for me, and I hope it can be also a surprise for the readers. It's like a novel, I would say, the personal life of that woman.
Absolutely. And just tell us a little bit about, okay, so she was a war correspondent. What did that exactly mean? What did she do to cover the war?
First of all, she really wanted to do that. She, as I said at the beginning, her life was shaped by the experience of the World War II in Florence. So she wanted to go back to this. She worked for a while as a normal journalist, let's say, but she wanted to go to politics and war, because she was a kind of an anarchist, Oriana Fallaci. She had a problem with the power. No, she didn't understand the power. She didn't stand the people having power over other people. That's why she specialized, I would say, in political interviews, because she wanted to get inside the mystery of power. And for her, the war was one of the most interesting laboratory to understand the human nature and the power and how it works. Because, you know, killing someone else or threatening to kill someone else is the supreme power, is the basis of every power, the violence. So she was really interested in this, and she struggled a lot to go there, because it was not at all something that a woman will do at the time in Italy. She started to cover war during the Hungarian Revolution in the 57, but in fact she became a war correspondent in Vietnam. For the American, this is not revolutionary, because the American women journalists were in Vietnam, but for an Italian journalist, that was really new. So she went to Vietnam. She insisted to go there, and she was the only Italian woman journalist to cover Vietnam on the ground. So she interviewed Giap, the General Giap in North Vietnam. And she went on, you know, she went on planes with the Americans. So she was really on the ground, and that established her as a war correspondent. Then she went everywhere. She went to Middle East with the Palestinian guerrilla. She went to India. She went to South America. But I would say she was born as a war correspondent in the Vietnam. And funny enough, she was in Vietnam. She was able to, she was very critical toward the Americans, but she was very critical toward the Viet Cong. So she was, you know, she was a troublemaker in a sense. Also in Vietnam, she was critical of every side, I would say.
And would you say that with these world leaders, for like most journalists, it would have been hard to get an interview, but when they said her name, that got her in the door, correct?
Absolutely. There was a moment, there was a time in history, I would say in the 70s, mainly after Vietnam, when, you know, to be asked from Oriana Fallaci, an interview was a kind of consecration, was a declaration that you were a real world leader. Of course, there were leaders that refused to give interview to her, like the Pope, Giovanni Paolo II, or Fidel Castro, one of the most famous refusal war for Castro. But in general, the leaders agreed to be interviewed. And because it was a kind of, you know, you, I would say because you knew at the time that there were not only interviews, there were a piece of literature in a sense. And in fact, then she published a book, his interview with history, that are still a very, you know, still in print in Italy, in many languages.
Speaking of her books, I'm sorry. She's written maybe 6-7 books. Could you suggest one book, if someone wanted to read a book she wrote, one book that Italian Americans we may like?
I think Interview with History is still one of the most interesting books ever, because it's a gallery of a character, of a political leader from all over the world, and it's still so interesting today, because it's really a photo of the time. I would say this from, if you are interested in politics, but also Letter to a Child Never Born, is, I think it's one of a typical book, because this is the other side of Oriana Fallaci, the personal, the intimistic, because we have to say to people, to listeners that don't know her, that she was also a novelist. She wrote novels, she wrote literature. And Letter to a Child Never Born, I think it's a good example of other side of ever literature. It's a very interesting novel, because it's about a woman expecting a baby. We don't say how it ends, but it's a book that created, enraged both the anti-abortion and the pro-abortion, because it's a very complex book. It's not pro or against. It's really a book that tries to get in what is for a woman to be pregnant and to try to live her own life. So it's a very complex novel. I think it's still interesting for a reader today. I hope that they are in print, but in any case, you can find it in the library.
I'm sure you can find it, because all her books are in English, and we live in a world of, you know, Google, Amazon. I'm sure you could find it. Your book, I love the title, Oriana Fallaci, The Journalist, The Agitator, The Legend, describes her perfectly. I highly suggest it. I know that you're either working on another book, or you completed another book that will be very interesting to Italian Americans. Please tell us about that.
Yes, the book will be out next year in America. I'm not sure about the month, but I think in the winter, February, something like this. It will be a biography of Maria Montessori, which is another big name. An Italian woman who became famous worldwide, of course, not in the same time, at the beginning of the 19th century. And a woman, once again, who found in America a great response to her movement, because America was absolutely central in the life of Maria Montessori. America was the United States elite, I would say, the financial and economical elite, was absolutely central in transforming Maria Montessori from a local phenomenon in Rome to a global phenomenon, because she was invited a lot of times. She was the first big schools were in America. So I think it's a very interesting story. So I hope that it will find a readership in your country.
Absolutely. And I think she's more well known because of the fact that I know, like, I live in Chicago and in Chicagoland area, there's many Montessori schools. So probably Italian Americans don't really know who she is, but they've heard the name. Because
yes,
that's
why I wrote the book, because Montessori is a name, is a mark, no? You can say it's a copyright, let's say. And today it's free of rights. So everyone can open a Montessori school. It's become a general name. But nobody knows about the woman behind this name. And you will see, if you read the book, that she had an amazing life. Really an amazing life. Because we are talking about a woman who was born in 1870 and who managed to do incredible things all by herself, because everything was against her. So I think it's important to give flesh and blood to this method. And I would like to underline, this is not a book for teachers. It's not a book of pedagogy. It's absolutely the life of Maria.
Well, I look forward to reading it. And I love the fact of that these subjects that you like, the lives of these people, because these lives are going to get lost as we keep going on with every day that passes. It's one more day removed from their lives. So please keep writing these books, especially about these Italian women. I love it. And it's important for us Italian Americans to be aware of these women and the great accomplishments that they have done in their lifetimes.
I will.
I thank you. The Falaci book, excellent. What a woman. I've said it before on my podcast. That's a movie waiting to happen. Audiana Falaci should be a movie here in the United States that they make.
They're working on
everything.
They're working on it. I know that there will be a TV series called Mrs. Falaci Goes to America. But it's still on the making. But she's definitely, a story worth a book. And also Maria Montessori, there will be an international TV series based on her life. Great life and great movies, I hope.
Yes, excellent, excellent. Christina, I thank you so much for your writings and for the interview, because this was an important topic that we need to spread the knowledge about. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. To all the listeners, have a great day. Great Italian American day. Thank you.